Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome to another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Russell Johnson is here. Normally, Russell is here for recruiting. He is the co-host of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. But Russell and I both like the NBA a lot. The NBA playoffs now set. They will begin on Saturday. Four games Saturday, four games Sunday. If you like professional basketball, it's two really good days to a weekend full of some pretty intriguing NBA matchups. Sometimes we get caught talking about it on the Soft Verbal Podcast and a handful of people get upset. So those people who do not want to hear NBA, they don't have to listen. And those that do, we'll get to talk about it without worrying about being on a clock. So we'll talk some of that. We'll talk some Major League Baseball as well. We are watching this as we speak. The Cubs and the Pirates are in the bottom of the third of a game at Wrigley. The Pirates lead 1-0, so you might hear some screams or declarations or such during this podcast, and that's what that's about. So we'll get to that in a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. Right now, they've got the $3 meal deal at the Oxford Crystal. It's Highway 6 West in Oxford. It's right next to the Oxford Exxon, right next to Blue Sky. $3 meal deal, Chipotle Cheese Crystal. You can spice up your meal deal at Crystal with the Chipotle Cheese Crystal, the Chipotle Cheese Loaded Fries, also the Red Hot Slushy that's made with, as you might guess, Red Hots. They still have the $24 party packs, 24 pack of Crystals in the party pack there at Crystal. So hanging out this weekend, watching some NBA, watching some Major League Baseball, watching some college baseball, maybe flipping around, all of those things. Got to cover college baseball because you never know. You gotta get all those things in. You can just load up on some Crystal. You can throw in some Chipotle Cheese Crystals and make it a real easy party at your place. So headed to the fourth now in Chicago's William Strikes Out Zobrist. So the podcast coming to you from Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford's in Amory. 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Once you get that quote, you can shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other podcast listeners, and that is take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. So simple. Right to the bottom line. Great product, great service after the sale. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, or frankly, on any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. We are also brought to you by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999, 662-259-2999. It's right across from Kroger. Go in. Greg Jones and the people there at LB's, they're fantastic. You can follow on Twitter. It's LB's Food Truck. Find out where the food truck is located. They've got all sorts of great eats there with the food truck. Or you can do what I love to do, which is to go in the store and just browse. Look at all the fresh cuts. They've got the freshest cuts in Oxford. The filet, the bone-in ribeye, strip steaks, the ground round, brisket. They've got chicken, pork, fresh seafood from the Gulf. Whatever it is you're looking for, they've got it. It's finally starting to warm up. They've got all the fresh and smoked sausages. Go in, try some different ones. Find your favorite or four, and get ready for the summer. And at this point, we're going to tell you that we're going to give away a $25 gift certificate to LB's to the first person who can answer this trivia question. And you have to answer it on Twitter, at me. I'm Neil McCready. It's very simple. At LB's Food Truck. and at Oxford Crystal. So you got to do three @s and a hashtag. Hashtag Beer Garden with your answer. Here's the question. Who is the only player in NBA history to win a scoring title one season and lead the NBA in assist the following season? Who's the only player in the history of the NBA to win a scoring title one season and lead the league in assist the following season? It's happened one time. Tell us that name. Do it to me, at Neil McCready, at LB's Food Truck, at Oxford Crystal, hashtag Beer Garden, and include the player's name. So I got it. You don't have to tell me when. You don't have to tell me who he played for. Just tell me his name. And you're the winner of a $25 gift certificate from LB's Meat Market. Russell, thanks for sticking around, for doing this. How are you?
Good, good. You know, it must be nice to have your at name on Twitter just as simple as at Neil McCready. You know, I can't even do that or even close to it with Russell Johnson.
No, you can't.
And I still get the jokes whenever I post on like a different message board for the first time. Because, you know, when I talk to all these kids and I get the information, I'm not just not going to pass it along. So when I pass it along, they're like, ha, 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 your name's really Russell Johnson. And they'll either show me the Gilligan's Island guy or they'll make fun of, you know, rustling someone's Johnsons. And it gets there.
That was the professor, right? Russell Johnson?
Yep. I got called the professor all throughout childhood and middle school.
Well, let's get this out of the way. Ginger or Marianne?
Marianne.
Is it even close?
Yeah, not really.
I go back and forth as I get older. Ginger is so much maintenance. So much maintenance. Now, she looks fantastic in that dress.
Yes, she does.
Marianne, a little more laid back. Probably going to put up with your bad day a little more than Ginger would.
Exactly.
Ginger will have no tolerance for your bad day.
Yes, exactly. No nonsense.
And you worry about what happens when maybe you put on 10, 15 pounds and your hair starts to fall out. Does Ginger say, nope, I'm moving on? Because I think Marianne would say, hey, honey, let's go for a run together. She'd be a little more subtle about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Of course, you're on an island. There's not much to eat anyway. Although somehow the skipper never gained a pound. I never lost a pound. Remarkable.
Never.
You'd think a big fat dude stranded on an island, probably going to drop a few.
You would think. It just never happened. It never accumulated.
All right. The NBA playoffs are set. You're the guest.
I was worried that the Hawks weren't going to get that third first round pick yesterday. Minnesota looked like they did not want to be there.
It was close.
I would have loved to see the stories come out about Thibodeau and his coaching methods if they would have missed the playoffs. He probably would have lost his job.
You know, Denver played really well down the stretch. Denver gave Minnesota. I knew they would. I knew Denver would give Minnesota. Carson said all day long, Denver's going to win. My son, Carson, for those that don't know, he said all day long, Denver's going to win. And I thought, I don't know, dude. It's in Minnesota. You know, Jokic might be the best player no one ever talks about.
Yeah, and that's what you think until you watched him last night in the fourth quarter in overtime. Gibson shut him down.
Taj Gibson ate his lunch.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm a Taj Gibson guy. I loved him when he was with the Bulls. He was great with the Thunder a year ago, but still, it was remarkable. I couldn't get over how he locked him down.
Yeah, I mean, there's a height difference, a size difference, and he locked him down. And I don't even think Jokic hit the rim on his last three attempts. But,
no, well, he's taking 35-foot shots. Will Barton has to make that shot.
Yeah.
Have to make that little runner.
We spoke about Memphis in the last podcast. Looks like we're going to talk about it again with Barton.
You have to make that shot.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, the Nuggets have been so close for, what, 2 or 3 years? Did they make the playoffs yet with this core?
No.
And they signed Millsap.
This was the year they were supposed to make it.
Yeah, they should have made it. I mean, Millsap's defensive leadership.
Missed a lot of the season, too.
Yeah, that's true. But still, when you're that close, you have to make it. And when you've got opportunities the way you do, it just has to be done. And going back to Barton's shot, it wasn't even close.
No, he floated left. hit on the left side of the rim, bounced off.
It was like his contact fell out in between the dribbles. It was terrible.
Carl Anthony Towns got the rebound, and that was that.
Yeah.
Huge win for Minnesota.
Yeah, they had, 2004 was the last time they were in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's been 14 years. It stops the – stops that. It gives this young core, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jeff Teague, those guys, obviously Jimmy Butler, gives those guys, they're going to get some playoff experience.
Yeah.
I mean, at worst, they're going to get four games of playoff experience. All right, you want to start East or West?
Start with the East.
Okay. All right, here's the format in the East. Toronto is the one seed. They will start their series against the 8-seed Washington Wizards. You want to do Coach of the Year. There's a lot of people for Coach of the Year. Worst coaching job of the year. And I hate it because I like Scott Brooks, but this was not a good coaching job. He lost that team quickly. They are paired up with the 4-5 matchup, which is the 4th-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers and the 5th-seeded Indiana Pacers. The Cavaliers are a weird team all year. The Pacers, one of the big overachieving teams. Victor Oladipo will win Most Improved Player. It won't even be close, and he deserves it. Nate McMillan did a fantastic job with Indiana this year. They are.
If you're giving out Coach of the Year, you have to think about Nate.
You have to think about Nate. You have to think about Quinn Snyder with Utah.
Yeah. Quinn Snyder. The Jazz are riddled with awards and controversies right now with Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, and then Rudy Gobert.
Who
should win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know that he will. He should.
Who else missed
a lot. You know what's funny is when you get serious about Defensive Player of the Year, I'll tell you who was going to win it. Roberson was going to win it.
I couldn't disagree with you there, yeah.
But he missed way too much of the season. And then Gobert missed a lot. And typically when a player misses a lot, and Gobert missed 30-some-odd games, mm-hmm. you typically don't win the award. But, man, his value as a defender is so obvious when you watch him play.
Last year in the playoffs was a game one. He rolled his ankle, and it changed the entire series.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's just how it goes with Utah. I mean, Utah is built around Gobert and Favors. And I know we're talking about the East, but, you know, talking about Defensive Player of the Year, without Gobert, I don't know if that team makes the playoffs.
The other coach that I think deserves consideration for Coach of the Year is Terry Stotts in Portland.
Yeah.
Just did a fantastic job.
They started horribly, didn't they? They were close to the bottom of the West at one point.
Yeah, and then I'll give you another one that he won't win it, but he deserves consideration. There's two. Brad Stevens in Boston, given the loss of Hayward in the first 6 minutes of the season.
Yeah.
And then what Greg Popovich did in San Antonio without Kawhi Leonard basically all season.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that's the Spurs way, I guess you could say. I mean, Popovich does it every year, but with him and his reputation, I think it's become so expected that he might not even get that many votes.
And then the other coach that deserves consideration is Dwayne Casey in Toronto. So that we'll start there. Finish the East. The 3 is Philadelphia. They're a real sexy pick right now. I'm falling for it, I'll be honest. Philly versus the Miami Heat. Miami the 6th seed, and then the 2nd seed, Boston Celtics, without Kyrie Irving. They face Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. They're the 7th seed. So we'll start at the top of the bracket. Toronto and Washington, the Raptors, had a great season. They've cooled off a little bit of late. Some of that might have been because they hit the cruise control button. DeMar DeRozan, easily the best year of his career. Kyle Lowry's been terrific. Serge Ibaka's had a bit of a renaissance. Valachunas has played well. They have that deep bench. Van Vliet is has been a difference maker for them on that bench. I think we're tied. Kyle Schwarber goes deep at Wrigley. It's now 1-1, bottom four. So
I'm taking, you're picking Toronto, right?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I think it's probably a sweep.
Really?
I don't like the body language on the Wizards at all.
Really?
At
wow.
All.
We're on complete opposite spectrums. I think the Wizards win the series.
You think the Wizards beat the Raptors?
Yes. I've seen the hype.
Wow.
I've seen the hype with the Raptors. I've seen Kyle Lowry in the playoffs too. Until I see Kyle Lowry score more than 10 points a game in the playoffs.
But they've won playoff series.
Okay. Who'd they beat?
I'd have to go back and think about it. They beat the Wizards.
They're not going to beat them this year. I don't think. I think that the health and the I wouldn't call it freshness of John Wall, but you know, just his overall athleticism compared to Lowry, I don't see that being a good matchup. I'm not sure if they have somebody else who they can put on Wall, but if you put somebody else on Wall, who's going to guard Beal? And Beal showed that he's an all-NBA player this season.
Yeah, Brad Beal's a great player. It's just, if we're talking about depth, it's not even close. Toronto's a much deeper team.
They may be deeper, but did you see the way the Wizards stayed in the playoff picture in Wall's absence? Is it Thomas Satoransky? I'm curious to see if he can continue the way he's played offensively in the regular season. I want to see if he can do it in the playoffs with the physicality. Because if he can, then that kind of changes things. And, I mean, obviously the Raptors have their backup point guard and their bench. You mentioned their depth. But I see it being too much later on. I think that if you have a solid point guard and a solid shooting guard, you kind of put the Raptors in a tough spot because Lowry has to guard one of them.
Yeah, we're just going to agree to disagree here. They're very good at home. They're a very good defensive team.
Who, the Raptors?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I think it goes seven games, but
okay.
I mean, it's not like a sweep my way, but
I think it's a sweep or a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
Toronto in four or five games.
I got used to sweeps as a Hawks fan, so.
All right, Cleveland and Indiana. I don't even know where to start with your Cavaliers, man. I mean, LeBron's the greatest player in the game.
Yeah.
It's no question, and this is his time of the year. There's no Kyrie this time. They've redid their roster midway through the year. Kevin Love's been up and down. Tristan Thompson embroiled in a Kardashian controversy. Congratulations to Khloe.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I think they had the baby today.
Khloe had the baby today as we taped this on Thursday. Congratulations to Khloe. Hope that all is well with mom and child. Tristan caught kissing on another woman. It's just a damn mess. And they don't have the ability to win this series.
I was just going to ask you. I was going to say, sir, are you saying Indiana's going to win the series?
No. Here's what's different, though, and I'm setting this up already. And in my mind, I'm mad at myself, Russell, if I'm honest, okay? Because I'm mad at myself for not being practical. Because the NBA is typically a very practical league in the playoffs. Cleveland, over the past 22 years, when they've been to the finals, I mean, a little hyperbolic, they cruise through the East. No one challenges them. They're rested, and a rested LeBron is scary as hell. Because he actually locks in on defense.
Yeah.
When he's tired, because he's human, he doesn't lock in on defense. They typically have been rested. I think Indiana's going to be able to win a couple of games.
Wow. Wow.
And so if it goes six, like I think it will, Cleveland in six, they're not going to be quite as rested in the next round when they face, if you're right, the Wizards, and if I'm right, the Raptors having to win a game or two in Toronto.
See, I mean, the Toronto thing, you know, going back to it for a minute, it's crazy how much the entire country of Canada just unites around the Raptors. I'm not sure if they could possibly turn that into another franchise in Canada in the future, but, you know, when it comes to matching up with the Cavs, the Pacers have what it takes on paper. But what they don't have is the Cavs, they like to flip this little switch. And you know, they do it every year. The regular season, be damned. Things change. LeBron puts on this show, and everything just goes as planned. I don't think they win in four, but I think they win in five, you know, possibly six, as you said. But it's going to be hard for the Pacers to win, even come close to winning a game in Cleveland. Like I said, LeBron flips a switch, and LeBron has made some of the greatest passes I've seen him make in his entire career this season.
In some ways, it's been the best season of his career.
Yeah, and this is when normally people with his age start to decline, and it seems like he's, you know, elevated his game to a different level. And with that, you know, they've made several moves. They basically reconstructed the roster in February to please him more than anything.
Sure.
I mean, I could see it happening where Lou kind of takes a seat back. I wouldn't be surprised if – I'm not sure if he steps away from the team again sometime in the playoffs. But with Lou and his health and the way they played under Larry Drew, they at least have to be considering it. David, he has to be considering making a change.
All right, so your pick here is Cleveland in five?
Yes, Cleveland in five.
I'll go Cleveland in six. All right, here's the interesting series. Not because it's an interesting series, but because the 76ers have turned it on in the second half of the season. They've won 15 in a row. Simmons, over the last month, might be the best player in the league, not named. And I'm, don't get me wrong. I'm talking in terms of being hot. Might be the best player in the league, not named Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Fultz is there. Fultz had a triple-double last night. It's amazing. We celebrate Markel Fultz and the triple-double. Yeah. Russell Westbrook gets triple-doubles, and he's an evil. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. Phillies won 15 in a row. They faced the Heat. I watched the Heat Monday night against the Thunder. Nah, I mean, they're not a lot there. They're okay. Dragic's a nice point guard. I like James Johnson a lot. I like Whiteside a lot, although he looks like he's just pissed off at the whole situation.
Yeah, you could say that.
You know, I like Justice Winslow, but that hasn't quite worked out the way that I...
The Thunder should have traded for him.
They tried. And they might do it this offseason. Dwayne Wade, blah, 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 whatever. So I think Spoelstra's a really good coach. But, man, Philly is on fire. They're going to get Embiid back. He's going to play with the mask. The mask looks cool. In fact, the mask looks so cool that I think he should start thinking about wearing it permanently even after his face is healed.
Rip Hamilton.
They're interesting, and they're fun, and they're a little deeper than people give them credit for. And you get a healthy Redick that can make shots, has some playoff leadership. I kind of like Philly in five.
I think it's in four.
You think it's a sweep? And
yeah.
You know what? And if you told me it was a sweep, I don't even blink my eyes. Not surprised at all. And as these kids get playoff experience, and they have a nice little run, I think, they get interesting.
They get interesting, and they have a lot of money to spend, too.
Well, listen, for next season, they're fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, because they might go after Paul George. They might go after – do they make a deal for Kawhi Leonard? Do they make a deal – do they get involved with LeBron? They've got a max – everyone talks about the Lakers. The Lakers are a million miles from contention. The Sixers are not. The Sixers might not even be a piece away.
Yeah.
But you add a piece.
Do you think the Lakers did what they did with that kid – to sell tickets, or do you think they thought he actually was talented enough to play in the NBA?
Oh, he was talented enough to play in the NBA. I just think they who hit that?
Cervelli?
It was Jordy Mercer, I think. No, Frazier. Clint Frazier? Adam Frazier. 2-1 Pittsburgh, top five. I think they did it to reward the kid. Young person.
Yeah, I thought it was nice, but I thought at the same time it kind of showed how far away they are from contention.
They're a million miles.
I mean, they think Kuzma and Lonzo Ball, they thought Lonzo Ball was going to, you know, carry the team this season and at least show some promise. But I could tell you that there is no promise on that team. You've got Julius Randle, who has the body of a three but plays the four. And kind of even gets up to playing center. And I mean, he's made a name for himself. He did well. He'll get some votes for most improved player. But at the same time, you know, he's not a franchise cornerstone.
No.
They have no franchise cornerstones on that roster. And for you to try to pitch that to LeBron, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to work. Especially when, like I said before, the Cavs reconstructed their entire roster. They're willing to probably reconstruct the entire franchise just to make him happy.
And then Boston, I hate this part of it. Boston-Milwaukee should be a fun series in an ideal world. Kyrie Irving, but he's out. Boston, a shell of itself. People love to pick on me about the Brad Stevens man crush that I have, and it's healthy.
Were you surprised he didn't interview for the Ole Miss job?
A little bit. I'm surprised he didn't want it. Stevens is just terrific. I'm looking forward still to seeing what Boston looks like when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward are healthy and on the floor together. But it hasn't worked out. Now they're really having to lean on Al Horford, and it's not enough. I don't think they beat Milwaukee, because I don't know that in this situation Antetokounmpo is so good. I kind of like Milwaukee in seven. And I feel cheated on this part, because I would have loved to have seen Kyrie.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Kyrie. I would have loved to see Hayward too. But, you know, we don't get that, but we do have at least a semi-healthy Milwaukee team coming into the playoffs, which, you know, you really can't normally say.
Jabari Parker's playing well. Yeah. Brogdon's playing well.
Exactly, and you didn't have that at the beginning of the year, and that was kind of when Milwaukee had, you know, been flustering towards, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, and obviously they ended up with the seventh seed, and I feel like this is one of the more interesting matchups, and I think this series, out of the ones in the East at least, besides Toronto and Washington, seeing that I picked the Wizards, I think this is one of the most watchable series from like an outsider standpoint. People who aren't really fans of the NBA are going to want to see, you know, if Boston is going to be able to do anything. Because, you know, Kyrie's out for the season. I think they're getting Smart back, aren't they?
Yeah, they should get Marcus Smart back. The reason people are gonna want to watch, in my opinion, is because you get to watch Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, seeing him continue to emerge and set up a matchup against Philly, that is gonna be fascinating. So I see Milwaukee winning in six. I think that, you know, Giannis is gonna be too much, as well as the overall length of the Bucks. You know, that becomes such an understated topic, because you've got Middleton, you've got Antetokounmpo, you've got Parker, and then you've got Thon Maker, who, you know, many people, when they first drafted him, they were kind of like, what are the Bucks doing? And they've used him and utilized him in a way that makes their defense, at least from a passing standpoint, it makes it more difficult than it would be any other way.
Before we get to the West, we're going to talk a little bit about Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All the underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. It's J-Lowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Crystal Beer Garden listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies, or all the way to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and really different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. Their writing, the production, the editing, it's all done solely by their staff and created uniquely for their clients. Lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian and a friend of ours is a partner in the firm, so give them a call and see just how great they are. It's Austin at strategicpartnersmedia.com. All right, let's go to the West. Here's how the West sets up. The one seed Houston Rockets, they play Minnesota, the Timberwolves, in by virtue of the aforementioned win over the Denver Nuggets last night in overtime, Wednesday night in overtime. You'll hear this on Friday. That's the 1-8. Oklahoma City, who's had a weird year, up and down, up and down. They end up at the 4. They're the 4 seed. They start a 7-game series with the Utah Jazz, the 5th seed, on Sunday afternoon at 5:30. That's game 1 in OKC. Portland is the 3 seed. We talked about the job that Terry Stotts did this season. Dame Lillard, C.J. McCollum, the boys. There's the three seed, Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans. Even without DeMarcus Cousins going a late run late in the season, and they earn the six seed, Portland and New Orleans in a seven-game series. And then Golden State, the defending NBA Finals champ, the Warriors, the two seed. They will face seven seed San Antonio, presumably without Kawhi Leonard, though his sister made some post on Instagram yesterday that created quite the firestorm in basketball circles. All right.
First of all, that series last year could have been so much better than it was. Wasn't it Pachulia?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was terrible. I remember Zaza well. I remember his antics. It was always nice in a Hawks uniform. You're kind of like a little worried about the other players, but you know that just derailed the series. That would have been that would have went seven games last year.
Someone asked the other day on a podcast. They said, "Who's the five dirtiest players in the NBA?" And I was sitting in my truck driving, and I said, "Zaza." And Carson's back there. Goes, "Who else?" Him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not in a league of his own.
Dellavedova.
Yeah, but he's not dirty like that.
He used to be. He wasn't Cleveland, at least.
Yeah, but he's not Zaza. He's not. A lot of guys try to tweak you and piss you off. Pachulia tries to hurt you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm. He basically made his career, you know, kind of on those kind of plays.
He tried to break Russell Westbrook's leg this year.
Doesn't surprise me.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Houston. Speaking of injuries. Luke Mbamute not playing in the first round.
He's out for the whole first round, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It might even be more.
Yeah. He'd come back from that shoulder injury. They were 26-4 since his return. And he gets hurt in a meaningless game in L.A.
First of all, why was he playing?
I don't know why anybody plays. If I'd been Houston, it'd have been like, so who's our affiliate? Austin? Let them play.
They call up the whole team.
Call them up. Give them all 10-day deals and a Chick-fil-A.
Why not? Yeah, exactly. The Houston series gets really interesting, like you said, with that injury. And then Minnesota, I mean, you know, they have the players.
Here's what makes Houston interesting all season was they could put P.J. Tucker, who's a little dirty on his own accord, but a very good player, very good defender. Luke Mbamute comes off the bench, can defend. So – in an ideal world, you let those guys kind of rotate on Jimmy Butler, wear him out, hit him, kick him, spit on him.
Yeah,
seriously, you get in front of him, harass him, make him work, tire him out. Well, now you don't have Luke Mbamute. Now you're asking P.J. Tucker, can't do it alone. You're going to tell James Harden you got to defend some, which he doesn't like to do.
No.
Teague's a good point guard. They have presence in the post. It's not big, not a big deal, but Minnesota can play small like Houston does. Karl Anthony Towns is a force now.
Yeah.
First playoff experience, but they've got some guys like Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Jamal Crawford has a ton of playoff experience.
This is an interesting series. Look, I think Houston wins it, but it's more interesting than I thought it would be. The West has been really good all year, and Minnesota survived the absence of Butler for a while, and now they get him back.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler can dominate a game.
Yeah, I mean, Butler can dominate a game. Karl Anthony Towns can dominate a game. And like you said, you know, getting those role players to play as well as they have has been a major key, especially I'm not really sure, you know, just how much they expected out of Jeff Teague, you know, when they made the trade. But I could see the series going more than five or six games, you know, possibly six games. But at the same time, you know, I kind of get that feel of they're just not ready yet. I really think that they're going to move Wiggins in the offseason. Wiggins isn't happy being the third or fourth option. And, you know, he just doesn't fit what they're trying to do. With that and combined with James Harden being able to play isolation ball and being able to, you know, win games basically on his own, I mean, that's just what's going to have to take place. And, you know, the addition of Chris Paul has been huge for Houston all year when he plays. So I see Houston winning the series, but I see all of the games being closer than expected. Kind of like how, what was it, 3 years ago, the Hawks got swept, right? The first three games were all decided by less than 10 points. I could see something like that taking place. I could see, you know, Minnesota maybe stealing a game in Minnesota. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota somehow stunned everybody and won game one this weekend. You know, speaking of this weekend, you know, we were talking about the weather from the Atlanta camp. You know, it's a great weekend for it to rain in Oxford. I got an alert on my phone a little bit ago. It looks like we're going to be under
flood.
Yeah. So it'll be nice. We'll just order some Crystal and watch playoff basketball.
Yeah, and you can get a six-pack at LB's. Just tell them that you heard about it. You heard about LB's on the Beer Garden. You get a six-pack for just $6.
See? I'm set.
You're done.
Yeah. No, I know. How many games do you think that series goes?
I will say it goes 5 games. I want it to go 6. I'm going to say 5. But it's not a gentleman's sweep. It's a contested 5 games.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I definitely agree with that. And, you know, seeing the way that Houston is going to match up with the winner of the next series, that is going to be fascinating. I'm sure you have the Thunder, right?
I don't know. So Oklahoma City and Utah, 4-5. Corey Brewer went down late last night. Everyone is basically saying they think it's okay. I'd like some confirmation from the Thunder that he's okay. I never thought I'd be saying that the whole damn thing hinges on Corey Brewer. But Corey Brewer is a difference maker for them. He was energy. He was defense. I mean, I think I like the Thunder in the series. The Thunder are such a weird team. But here's the only thing about Utah. Two things. One, I have immense respect for Rudy Gobert as a defender. I think Quinn Snyder's done a fantastic job. Al Jefferson, they've got players who can do things. But this is going to come down to Donovan Mitchell. It's going to come down to Donovan Mitchell. I think he hooked that. Yeah. It's going to come down to Donovan Mitchell. And this is his first playoff experience. And it's different. It's different playing in the playoffs.
It is, definitely.
And everything's magnified. Every decision you make is magnified. And you're going to look up, and the people guarding you, it's going to be Paul George.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer. NBA veterans. The Thunder won this series in large part because Andre Roberson could go out there and guard people. He's not going to play. It's going to really come down to what it always comes down to for the Thunder. Does Paul George play like a very good player, or does he play like an elite player?
So you don't think that any of this series has to do with Melo?
Yeah, I think Melo's kind of Melo. He's been for all the talk about Melo, he's been Olympic Melo all year. When he shoots well, he's done his part. He's operated in that offense the way that they've asked him to. He's made some sacrifices. They've gotten away from ISO ball. They really have. Steven Adams typically gives Gobert fits. Jeremy Grant's played a lot better of late for the Thunder. He's been one of the more improved players second half of the season. They get quality minutes out of Abrines. Even the kid Terrence Ferguson has some moments. Again, I've got to sign out whether Corey Brewer's healthy. If Corey Brewer's okay and can play, I like the Thunder, but I think it goes 7 games. If Corey Brewer's out, if that knee injury was different, I think Utah wins the series.
I see Utah winning the series in 7. I'll start off with that. I think Mitchell steps up and the performance that he gets, the performance he needs to have. Obviously, during your rookie season, you know, when you're campaigning for rookie of the year and all that, you can have all the 25-point games in the world you want. But when the playoffs start, you know, there is, like you said, there's going to be an added defensive physicality and there's going to be pressure on him, especially because it's become expected from him. Rubio scores a lot more than you would have expected him to, especially.
Had a great year.
Yeah, he's shooting threes now, which, you know, I wouldn't really expect him to want to do that in the playoffs. But, you know, overall his playmaking has kind of given the Jazz a little bit of a next step, because for a while there and during the season when Exum was out and Gobert was out, they weren't going to make the playoffs.
You know what's interesting about this is one of the things is Utah likes to play Derek Favors. Derek Favors is going to have to match up on Melo. Melo, if the Thunder's willing to gamble on Melo, Melo could play Favors off the floor. Not a good matchup for Utah. Favors on Melo.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But Melo doesn't shoot like Melo's. He has moments.
Yeah.
Had a great game in Miami the other night. Was okay last night against Memphis. Was pretty good against Houston the other night. Melo has told people in Oklahoma City that this getting to the playoffs makes him feel young. He hadn't played in the playoffs in a long time. Hadn't played in a series where he had a chance to win in a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, when was the last time?
It's been five, six years. Yeah, it's been a long time since. I mean, the Knicks made the playoffs, but.
They never had a chance.
No.
No, and like you said, with that, I mean, you could possibly put Crowder on Melo. And I mean, just the way that the Jazz traded Rodney Hood, I was shocked by that.
They need Crowder on George.
Yeah, you're right on that. Yeah, because but then who does Mitchell guard? Is Mitchell guarding Westbrook?
They could bury him on Brewer, but they probably you can't put Mitchell on Westbrook because if you do that, Russell's going to attack.
Yeah, exactly. And then Mitchell will be in foul trouble, and Mitchell will be tired, and he won't be able to attack offensively.
So you're going to force Rubio to guard Russell.
And that
they don't really have anyone to guard Russell, but yeah. No one does. Stopping Russell Westbrook's not. You want if you're the opposing team, you want Westbrook to start thinking about scoring. What you don't want Russell Westbrook to do that he doesn't get credit for. Russell Westbrook had 800 assists.
Well, yeah, he averaged a triple-double.
I mean, Russell Westbrook, like last night, everyone was focused on the rebounds. He had 19 assists last night. Distributes the basketball. He doesn't get enough credit for how good he is.
No, I don't. I can't disagree with that.
I actually believe Russell Westbrook is underrated because so many people in the NBA or so many people in the media don't like Russell Westbrook for reasons that I'm not sure I completely understand.
Because he's different. I mean, you know, I got an alert when I was driving over here to the Clark Ford studio that, you know, you look at all 82 of Russell Westbrook's outfits. You know, he's an outlier. He's different. You know, he likes to do things his way. Yeah, like you said, he kind of keeps to himself. He doesn't have a posse.
Not at all.
No.
His posse is his brother, his parents, his wife.
Yeah. And his kid, right? Yeah, exactly.
Who's a baby.
And that's different because the NBA, you know.
Thunder already drafted him.
You said
Noah
what?
Westbrook, they've already drafted him. They own his rights.
So did the Cavs draft LeBron's son too then?
They're smart.
They should.
They should.
Yeah, they'll probably be in contention for it because LeBron will – never mind. Anyways, but yeah, I mean –
probably own the team by then.
Yeah, he might. He might be that. He might be the senator. Who knows?
Might be president.
But yeah, like I said, I have the Jazz winning the series in 7.
Okay.
I think that, you know, Gobert in favors physicality – gets Melo in foul trouble, especially if Favors can get Melo in the post. And, you know, with Gobert, it's just a matter of, you know, finding an offensive rhythm. You know, obviously, he gets all the rebounds. He alters shots. He does all of that. And obviously, he needs to avoid the injury that hit him, what was it, within the first minute last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that obviously can't happen or the series is just done.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he is the most pivotal piece on the Jazz roster in determining how this series goes. If he's able to get between, you know, 10 to 15 points a game to go along with his rebounds and blocks, I think that they win those games. But if he's getting 7 to 8, maybe 9 points, and you know, really not making a difference offensively from a follow standpoint, from a putback standpoint, getting to the free throw line, you know, I don't see the Jazz winning the series.
You're going to see two of the best post players in the league defensively, Adams and Gobert. You're going to see maybe the best two-way defensive player in the league now that Kawhi's not playing in Paul George. I love Donovan Mitchell as a future star. It's a fun series. It's not nearly as good of a series as the one that I think we're going to talk about next. Portland and New Orleans, I'm pumped.
Yeah, me too. It's
going to be a great series.
Yeah, it's both teams' strengths or the other team's weaknesses. Like, Portland has guard play while New Orleans has Anthony Davis. I would go with New Orleans if they were healthy, and it's really still hard not to with Anthony Davis and the way he's been playing. I mean, if they were giving MVPs based on the last – what since Cousins went down, what was that, January?
He went down the day before – yeah, January, because he went down the day before Roberson did.
Yeah, if he doesn't go down, you know, who knows where they're at.
He might be the 3 seed.
But Davis has been the MVP since that moment.
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, he'll come out early from a game and roll his ankle and blah, blah, blah. But he has been the leading factor for them getting to where they are. At one point, they were another team that was fighting for a playoff spot, and they were able to get in and get in to the point to where they're a six seed. So, you know, I see the series going six games, but I just see the play of McCollum and Lillard being too much for Rondo to, you know, be able to match up with. McCollum's actually an Ohio native. I saw him play in high school. Glen Oak High School. Props, shout out to Glen Oak, Costa Cufas as well.
He's got a new podcast out. It's really good.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. But McCollum and Lillard, you know, seeing the way that they mesh together and play together, it's just so much fun to watch. I had to turn the TV off, otherwise I would have stayed up all night watching that game last night.
I'm supposed to hate Portland because they're a rival and all that stuff, but I catch myself really liking Portland.
Why are they just a rival from the Sonic standpoint?
I guess because they're in the same division and all that stuff, and whenever the Thunder plays the Blazers, it's just super tight. And this year, the Blazers won all three games. And it's because Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are just fantastic. They're just fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, getting Harkless back will be huge.
Yeah,
bigger, sure. Bigger than you would imagine Mo Harkless being.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Portland wins it. I won't be shocked if it goes seven games. I've got Portland in six, but it's going to be fun. All right, last one. Warriors presumably without Steph Curry, though the Warriors are so dramatic that if you told me Steph came limping out and then somehow broke into a dead sprint 2 seconds later, I wouldn't be surprised. The Warriors and all of their drama against the Spurs. The Spurs who got their ass kicked last night on a night when they could have avoided the Warriors.
Yeah. They could have, and they chose not to, which kind of, I think, says something. I don't know if they're scared. They're not scared of the Warriors.
No, they're not scared of anybody.
No, they're not scared of anybody. They never have been, and they never will be. I mean, if you look at that team, I mean, you think of where they came from, like the point guard, or not the point guard, the shooting guard, Danny Green. He was a reject with the Cavs.
Yeah.
And the Cavs were like, no, you're not good enough to play in the NBA, blah, blah, blah. And he's made his entire career off hitting open threes and playing solid defense.
Well, the other thing with the Spurs that doesn't get enough credit is LaMarcus Aldridge has had an all-NBA kind of season.
Yeah, especially going into after last year, people kind of thought,
he wanted out.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted out, and people were disappointed with his performance. He wasn't delivering the way they expected him to, but, I mean, that also kind of goes with Gasol.
So can the beat-up, poor old Matt – Warriors, can they just somehow find a way to limp through this series? Are they going to be okay?
I mean, what do you think? How many games do you think it goes?
No more than five.
Yeah, I think five, pushing towards six. I think that the Spurs might win a game. I think they'll win a game at home, and I think that, you know, they might be able to steal a game from Golden State. You know, kind of win if Durant's off. And, you know, Thompson's beat up. I mean, like you said, they're a dramatic team, and they claim to be beat up. But, you know, who knows what could happen? You know, Iguodala hasn't been playing very well. You know, just the team seems vulnerable. It's the most vulnerable they've been in a long time. And, you know, just in the overall landscape of the playoffs, you can't just straight up say Golden State and Cleveland. It's not going to be that way. I mean, it might end up that way, but it's not a done deal as many would expect. I mean, you've got so many injuries with Golden State. You've got the chemistry issues in Cleveland. You've got Houston trying to figure out what to do without Mbamute. I mean, there's just so many storylines in the playoffs that it's not just a done deal as many people expected. You know, when Durant first signed with Golden State, that it was going to be Golden State in the finals every year no matter what.
If I told you that someone out of that quadrant beat Houston, is it Minnesota, Oklahoma City, or Utah?
Ooh, that's tough. I would go with Oklahoma City. I'd have to say Westbrook played out of his mind.
Yeah, I would agree. If you told me that someone beat Houston, I would say it's Oklahoma City. If I told you that someone out of that quadrant beat the Warriors, is it Portland, the Pels, or the Spurs?
Portland.
Does anyone beat Houston or Golden State, or are they destined to face one another?
I think Portland beats Golden State in seven.
Wow. That'd be a big story.
It would. I just see that, you know, Curry's obviously already, he's a lack of a defender. And seeing him match up against Lillard, That would just be, I think Lillard could put up 30 to 40 a game, and then combined with McCollum on Thompson, it's just, it's a setup recipe for an upset. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a little bold going with Portland and Washington, but that's just, that's how I feel. I've watched probably not as much NBA as you have, but that's just how I feel.
No, it's a bold pick. All right, we're gonna get our finals picks in just a second. First, let me tell you, this podcast is also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. A popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time as the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail, sometimes called blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com. That's tuna, C-H-A-S-A, charters.com. His Facebook page, or you can call John, 228-348-7817. Okay. Last couple minutes here. Who do you've got Golden State losing to Portland, so I assume you've got Portland and Houston in the West.
Cleveland and Philly in the East.
Cleveland and Philly in the East. I'm with you in the East. I've got Cleveland out of that quadrant. I've got Philly out of their quadrant. I'm boring. I've got the Warriors, damn it, and Houston.
I mean, I can't blame you for that. You know, going with a safe pick. I mean, there's no money on the line here, but
I want so badly to see chaos, because NBA chaos would be a lot of fun. And frankly, the league could use something. The league could use something along the lines of Philly winning the East, a young upstart team.
That would be
with
crazy.
Personality.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the NBA would kill to have the Sixers in the finals. With those personalities, those young players, new players you can market. And then in the West, Houston's a great story. The Thunder would be a great story. The Blazers would be an awesome story. I'm afraid we're going to get the Warriors. I'm afraid we're destined for Warriors Cleveland again, where everyone who's an NBA, people who like to pick on the NBA, it's their go-to weapon, and it works. You guys get excited about this long season, and it's always the same two teams. It's a valid argument when it happens again.
It is, especially if it does happen again this year. I see Houston winning the West. I think they beat Portland, though I'm not exactly sure, you know, kind of how that matchup would go with McCollum on Harden. McCollum could go for 40 a game on Harden, especially with his defense. But by then, you would think Mbamute would be back, and they'd be able to bring Tucker back off the bench. And I think that Capella's offensive ability, which he didn't really have, especially when he first got drafted, you know, I think that would become the X factor in that series, and I think Houston would end up winning that series in six. I just think that LeBron becomes to be too much for Philly. Philly gets the experience. They get to be there. But with Embiid, it's more than being there. It's about, you know, winning and getting to the Eastern Conference Finals in your first year post-tank. That's big.
Oh, it's
I mean, that experience will be instrumental going forward, and it'll show potential free agents, like you were mentioning, Paul George. Like, let's say Oklahoma City gets beat in the first round, and Philly's in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're like, hey, you know, we've got Simmons. Simmons is going to be our point guard, and we want you here. I mean, if you just comparing the two situations, especially playing in the Eastern Conference, where, you know, there is talent, there's a lot of talent, and I think the only team that I don't see potentially making a run anywhere is Miami, out of either the East or West. You know, there's talent in the East, and there's more than you would have expected going into the season, where everyone was like, oh, the East is so bad, blah, blah, blah. Like, people thought the Knicks were going to compete for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and they may have.
Yeah, they may have.
Porzingis stayed healthy, but, yeah, you know, injuries are part of the game. And when they lost him, they were done.
Well, yeah, when you draft a French point guard who no one knows about and doesn't do anything all season. Well, I mean, you know, he made some plays. He did some things, but, you know, they should have drafted Dennis Smith.
Yes. Because he deserves to finally get paid for playing basketball. He did. He deserved to finally get his rewards. And anyway, he had a good year in Dallas. He would have helped New York.
Yeah, and I mean, and Dallas is another team that you didn't really expect to tank the way they did. I mean, they just, well, towards the end of the season,
West
they just shut everybody
so
down.
And once you know you can't compete and you can't get the playoffs, you should lose. as aggressively as possible.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the transformation. Like I said, the Hawks have four of the top 33 picks in the draft, and they have a chance to, you know, completely accelerate their rebuild if they can draft correctly. But this is the same organization who drafted Marvin Williams over Chris Paul. So, I mean, with that, and then you've got the Grizzlies as well. The Grizzlies are going to have a chance at a top, but three or four pick. And, I mean, they became so bad down the stretch. But I think that they actually are going to sign Marshawn Brooks to a pretty long deal. I was looking at the stats and stuff from the season.
He was terrific last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's been terrific since he got there. And, you know, to be able to find someone like that out of this season, you know, kind of like how they found Jamichael Green a few years ago before the playoff run, it's instrumental to a rebuild. I mean, they kind of have to figure out what they're going to do from a coaching standpoint and kind of all that stuff. But,
well, Russell, enjoyed the visit. I hope your predictions are more right than mine. Yours are a lot more exciting than mine would be. We'll do it again. The playoffs are fun. Next week on the Beer Garden, we're going to actually talk about hockey. I've lined up at least one hockey guest. Might have a second. Hoping to get Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Tribune. Come on, talk some NBA playoffs. He'll be covering Jazz Thunder. Talked with him late last night a little bit. He was flying today. But we'll try to get him on sometime next week on one of the travel days. So hopefully we'll have a pretty good beer garden to you again next week. But our thanks to Russell today. You were great. Appreciate it very much. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until next week, take care.